rip us apart.
Welcome to Faith and Victory Church. Faith and Victory Church is an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. We welcome all who love to worship God and those who wish to deepen their relationship with Him. Pastors Matt and Crystal Krochunas are inviting you to come worship with them and the congregation of Faith and Victory Church this Sunday. To find out more about Faith and Victory Church, check out our website, www.faithandvictory.com. You will find that there is something for everyone at Faith and Victory Church. Now join us for the Spirit-filled message.
Y'all ready for this? Dun, 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 dun. Oh, just kidding. Okay. When Pastor Matt was in the military, he did a year in Egypt, and so I lived up with my mother-in-law in Ballard, and I attended a church in Everett as part of this Bible study group, and one of the ladies in our group was pregnant. And what's the matter? I like leaning on the baptismal. And so early on in her pregnancy, she had gotten a word from the Lord saying that her baby was going to be born completely healthy, that it was, you know, the Lord told her your baby was going to live and not die, and he would be healthy. And she didn't know what that meant at the time. Well, later on in her pregnancy, she went into the doctor, and they did an exam, and the doctor said, you need to sit down. I need to tell you what's going on, that your baby is going to die either now or it will be born. If it's born, it's going to die. And my friend said she just started laughing. And the doctor looked at her and said, you really need to take this seriously. And she said, my God has already told me that my baby is going to live. And so she came back and said, I'm choosing to believe what God has said and not what the doctor has told me about. Ooh, thank you, Glenn. About this situation. So my message tonight is, whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. That's a good one, yeah. Isaiah 53, verse 1. He says, who has believed our message? Who's believed our report, it says, of that which was revealed to us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? This word in the Hebrew report means an announcement or doctrine, if you will. It's another word for doctrine. So Isaiah is quoting here, who has believed our report? And whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed to? Okay? He's talking about the servant Messiah here. He's talking about Jesus. The servant Messiah suffered and was crucified. Many have found God's message in him difficult to believe or accept, right? Many have found that message difficult difficult to believe or accept. Some believe that Christ died for their sins, but find it difficult to believe the whole message of the full life made possible by his atoning death. That's what this scripture is referring to. Not just that they wouldn't believe that Jesus died for their sins, but the full gospel of what Christ did on the cross. Because he did more than just die for our sins, people. Okay, and a lot of people want to believe that part, but they have a hard time believing the other stuff that was accomplished at Calvary. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Turn with me to John chapter 12. Don't remember that song. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Tell me, whose report shall you believe? All right. John chapter 12. That's it. John chapter 12, verse 37, it says, talking about Jesus here, he says, even though he had done so many miracles before them, right before their eyes, yet they still did not trust in him and failed to believe in him. So that what Isaiah the prophet said was fulfilled, Lord, who has believed our report and our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been shown? Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. It's going to say the same thing. How about that? Romans chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. But they have not all heeded the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report, what he has heard from us? So faith comes by hearing, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message of Christ. And the King James says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Who has believed our report? The whole gospel. We need to believe the whole gospel, folks, the whole truth, everything that Jesus did. Otherwise, we will continue to live in defeat. Okay? We will continue to live in defeat. This has to do with forgiveness, being justified, being redeemed, and being healed. Okay? His report says, I am forgiven. Okay, go back to Isaiah 53, verse 5. A lot of people know this, right? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. He was wounded for our transgressions. Christ was crucified because we have sinned and are guilty before God. Okay? As our substitute, he took the punishment due and penalty for our sins, the penalty of death. Therefore, we can be forgiven and have peace with God. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Okay? Some news for all of you. We were all born into sin. Okay? Our due penalty was death. And he took that upon him on the cross. We need to not only believe we are forgiven, but we must live and act like forgiven people. You have got to get a revelation of your forgiveness. Otherwise, you will continue to live in defeat until you have a revelation that you are forgiven and you begin to walk and act like you are forgiven. Grace, this word grace in the Old Testament translates as favor or kindness, okay? That's what it means, favor or kindness. Now, I did a word study on this. The word grace in the Greek is charis. And it's interesting is the definition of grace changed after Jesus came on the scene. It didn't mean favor anymore. It means the divine power of God on the heart and its effect in the life. And every place in the New Testament where it's translated, this is the only word used for it. And when I was studying this out, they actually changed the definition of grace after Jesus. That's some powerful stuff, folks. It's a power source, a divine power on our heart that changes our life. Because it's the divine power on the heart and its effect in the life. And all the way through the New Testament, this is the only word translated as grace. It's powerful. It's a power source. Grace is the power to forgive and transform lives. It's a power source, folks. It's not an abstract word. It's a power source. A forgiven person is always grateful, giving praise to God. Walk and act like we're forgiven. A forgiven person is grateful, right? We know that we deserve death, and so we are grateful that we don't get death. Amen? We praise Him for it. A forgiven person is accepting of others. Since God accepted you, you can accept other people. Right? We walk and act like you're forgiven. A forgiven person accepts other people. Folks, it doesn't mean that you accept their sin. You accept who they are. Okay? You accept who they are, just as He accepted who we were. He accepted us. A forgiven person is non-condemning. Since you have not been condemned, we do not condemn. A forgiven person is non-condemning. A forgiven person proclaims their freedom. Come on, man. Anybody ever do time in jail? Prison? I spent a day in jail, okay? I know you guys, I told you this. I was harboring a runaway. And I can't imagine what it's like to be in prison for years. But I know the minute I was freed, I would run and tell everybody, I've been let out! I've been freed! Right? We've been set free! We need to proclaim our freedom, folks! A forgiven person proclaims their freedom! You've been set free! You were in bondage your whole life! Man, go and tell people that you've been set free! Right? Man! I won't walk around in bondage. A forgiven person loves because they were first loved. We can love God because He first loved us. Right? And so that love can transfer to other people. We can love them before they love us, guys. A forgiven person loves first. Okay? Walk and act like you're forgiven. A forgiven person is humble, not arrogant. I knew a friend, and they were a close friend, and they were raised in the Lord their whole life. Their family, their parents were missionaries over in Africa. They grew up in Africa. And all they ever said to me was, I've never done anything my whole life. I've never drank. I never smoked. I've never done this. I've never done that. Never had sex. Never blah, 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 blah. And so they had this kind of, I'm better than you attitude. They did. And they would even tell me that. I'm not a sinner like you. That's an arrogancy, right? It's an arrogancy. We need to be humble, folks, not arrogant. But we also need to be confident in our being forgiven, but not cocky. Okay? There's a boundary there. Because we need to have confidence that we are forgiven. Because you have confidence in that and you will walk differently. But it's not a cockiness. It says, I know what I've been forgiven from. I know that the wages of sin is death and I've been delivered from that. Right? His report says, I am justified. Look in 2 Corinthians 5:21, Pastor Matt's favorite verse. Second Corinthians 5:21. It says, for our sake He made Christ to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become the righteousness of God, approved and acceptable and right with him. He made us the righteousness of God. Justified means to be shown to be right. It is righteousness, folks. Righteousness comes when we are born again of the nature of God. Right, guys? And this is what we talked about this weekend. When we're born again, we take on God's nature. We take on his nature, and we leave our old nature behind us. This is what symbolizes, this is what we do in baptism. Romans 6:3 says, "Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Christ, have been baptized into his death?" And I never understood what that meant until I understood that nature that we take on of God, that when we're born again, we're born of the nature of God, and that old nature needs to die. And so when we go down in the water, Brian, did you get baptized? Praise God. When you go down in the water, it's literally you dying and going into your grave and being rose again with a new nature of God. It's a beautiful picture of what he does in us. Right? When we're born again, we're born of the nature of God. Now all of a sudden, we have been made right with God. We are his righteousness. Righteousness is concerned with our new nature. Okay? This is living for Christ. Walk in a newness of life. It's walking in newness of life. That's what righteousness is. Righteousness is being controlled by the love of Christ. Righteousness is progressively becoming more like Christ. That's righteousness. It's God's nature in us, making us, conforming us into the image of Jesus. It's not of us, but it's his nature inside of us, conforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. His righteous nature. A heart that beats with the heart of God. This is righteousness. A heart that beats with the heart of God. I read this story because I was trying to see if people's hearts would become, where they would synchronize with each other if they like were in a relationship for a long time, right? And so it says that people that are married for a long time, like at night when they lay down, their hearts start beating together. They synchronize. And there was a couple that had been married 72 years, okay? And they were in this tragic accident, and they were brought to the emergency room. And in the emergency room, they're in an intensive care unit, actually, and they were side by side, and they were holding hands. And the man died. And the son was there, and he said, "How come his heart monitor is picking up a heartbeat?" And the lady said, "It's picking up his wife's heartbeat." His heart monitor was actually picking up his wife's heartbeat. Is that not amazing? Like that synchronization of being in close presence with somebody for so long, your heart beats as one. And I thought, man, isn't that the more we're in our relationship with God, we take on his DNA, we take on his nature, our heart starts beating like his. Our hearts begin to beat like his. Amen? Because, folks, if you have the Holy Spirit, you have his nature living inside of you. And our heartbeat, the longer we're in his presence, we will take on his heartbeat. Amen? Righteousness. This is what the Holy Spirit said. He said, "Some of you are stuck in this area, going round and round the same mountain, never being fully convinced of your new nature." Never being fully convinced of your new nature in Christ. Because I said, if you can't accept the full gospel, you'll live in defeat. I didn't say this stuff, folks. He said it. He gave me his nature. He gave me his righteousness. You've got to receive it, though. You've got to receive it, and if we don't receive it and get a revelation of it, we'll go around that same mountain for years. You'll stay in your desert and you'll live in defeat. Whose report will you believe? We cannot change our behavior until you change your nature. And that's why he gives us his nature so we can change our behavior. Amen? His report says, I am redeemed. Now this word redeemed means to recover by payment or satisfaction, to pay the ransom. Romans 8:23, it says that we groan within ourselves waiting for the redemption of our body. Because we see redeemed as being redeemed from the grave, but full redemption won't be complete until we're in heaven with him. And so our bodies, while we're on this earth, we cry out waiting for full redemption, folks. Okay? We've been saved, but our body still cries out for that full redemption when we'll receive an immortal body. That's what's going on inside of us. That's why sometimes you're like, man, I just want to get out of this place. This world is not my home, right? That is the complete redemption is waiting for the fullness of what Christ did, that we can receive that immortal body when we're in heaven. And we're waiting for that, right? We're waiting to receive our full rights as his children. Being redeemed means we are to be living like the Lord is coming back soon. Because we're groaning, we're waiting. And so the redeemed people live like he's coming back soon. And this has been lost in the church, folks, that Christ is coming back. Well, it's been 2,000 years. He ain't coming yet. Did you know the early church believed in so much in his imminent return that a lot of them were even quitting their jobs? Man, I don't need to work. He's coming back. Don't quit your job. But we need to have this mindset that says he's coming back soon. Right? The church needs to get back to that. Because he's coming back. His return is imminent. It's coming back. He's coming. Look at Romans 13. Being redeemed means like, it's that your body is constantly groaning for him to come back. And sometimes you may not even understand what's going on, but your spirit is groaning, saying, I'm waiting for that completeness to take place. Right? And sometimes you can't even put a word on it. Romans 13, verse 11, it says, besides this, you know what hour this is, how it is high time now for you to wake up out of your sleep. For salvation, your final deliverance, is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone and the day is almost here. Let us then drop the works and deeds of darkness and put on the full armor of light. Let us live and conduct ourselves honorably and becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in immorality or debauchery, not in quarreling and jealousy. A redeemed person lives as if his Lord's return is imminent. Okay? As if he's coming back today, tomorrow. The redeemed must always be spiritually ready. We must always be spiritually ready, folks. We have to be. A redeemed person casts off the works of darkness, rejecting immorality and the acts of the sinful nature. We don't want to get caught in a time when we're doing something and the Lord comes back and we're doing something we're not supposed to be doing. Awkward. Yeah. Busted. Right? I mean, how many of you kids, you know, I always hear Pastor Matt talking about him and his brother were lighting dog poop on fire, you know, in their mom's barbecue pit, and she came home right at that time. You don't want to be get caught doing something you're not supposed to be doing when the master of the house comes home. Am I right? We don't want to be... I didn't do anything wrong, that's why... No. Next one, the dream, walk honestly among everyone. Folks, we need to look and act differently than the world. If we are not walking uprightly and honestly, we're just looking like everybody else. We're not representing Christ. And we're surely not living like He's coming back, right? Have an excellent spirit as Daniel did. Transparent integrity of character. Diligence in prayer and fasting. You know, when I think of Daniel, he worked for Nebuchadnezzar, folks. In Babylon. You know, you may not know a lot of like words in the Bible, but Babylon is not a good word in the Bible. It's synonymous with evil. But he had an excellent spirit among people. He walked in character. He walked in morality. He walked in prayer and fasting. Okay? Walk as a redeemed person. Our Lord's return is imminent. Put on the armor of light, adopting the patterns of Jesus as our own. Don't fight the Holy Spirit. Quit fighting the Holy Spirit within you that's trying to mold you, shape you. You know, one of the Holy Spirit's job is to mold us and shape us, conform us into the image of Jesus. And you can fight it, folks. You can fight the Holy Spirit. You can. Yeah. Your flesh will always fight it. But, man, just surrender. Just surrender to Him. A redeemed person watches steadfastly for His return. We're on alert, right? Always. Always. His report says, I am healed. Turn back to Isaiah 53. I'm going to read verses 4 and 5. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did consider Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Why has the church lost this report? The church has lost this report. We run to the doctor all the time for a healing and not to the one that can heal all things. Do we not? And maybe it's just the society we've lived in where healthcare is so easy. You know, if we all lived in the jungle in, you know, Tanzania, whatever the place is, Timbuktu, you'd have to rely on God. If you were wandering in the desert for 40 years, you'd have to rely on God. Why is it not that we don't go to Him first? Right? He's our healer. Healing is part of the whole gospel of Jesus Christ, folks. The whole gospel, right? This phrase, He has borne our griefs. The word grief is literally translated as sickness or infirmity. That's what it means. It's literally translated sickness or infirmity. This references Jesus' ministry of healing the sick, both physically and spiritually. The Messiah would endure punishment in order that we may be delivered from our sicknesses and diseases, as well as our sins. What He did on the cross was for the whole body, the whole man, every part of us, spirit, mind, soul, all parts. As he bore our sins, he took upon himself the infirmities and diseases that belong to us, and he carried them so we could be freed and healed. Why is it so easy for us to believe that our sins are forgiven, but that he won't heal our sickness? I think sometimes we get comfortable with it, maybe. Right? We get comfortable with it. He carried them so that we would be freed. People want to believe the doctor's report over that of the Lord. They do. Well, he's a doctor. He knows best. Doctors practice medicine. Listen, I'm not telling you don't go to the doctor, okay? But what I am telling you is that he is our healer, and it's part of the church that's been missing for a long time. Why has it been missing? With his stripes, we are healed. This healing refers to salvation with all its benefits, spiritual and physical. Sickness and disease are the result of the fall and Satan's activity in the world. With his stripes, we are healed. This wasn't just our sins, folks. It was our bodies, too. It was mental illness, too. It was physical illness, too. It was all-encompassing. 1 John 3:8 says, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." He was manifested to destroy the works of Satan, which includes, folks, sin, sickness, disease. It includes all of that. Christ gave healing to his church and commanded us to heal the sick as part of our proclamation of the kingdom of God. And I think sometimes we're afraid to pray for somebody because what if they don't get healed? But what if they do? What if they do? What if you're not using that gifting that God has given you? What if you have a gift of healing in your hands and you're not using it for someone else's benefit? Why are some people not healed and some people are? I don't know. But I know that God is a healer. I know that God is a healer. If I pray for you and you die, God is still a healer. It doesn't mean that he hasn't stopped healing. We have to get over this mindset. And I was praying about this, and I asked the Lord, why is healing not so prevalent in your church? And he said, because of doubt. My people doubt that I can do this. And a lot of it's been the doctrine that's creeped into the churches saying that, oh, the gifts of the Holy Spirit have ceased. These things have ceased. And it's created doubt in people's minds. And Satan has just run wild with it. Doubt can hinder a move of God, folks. Doubt can hinder a move of God in our own lives. It can. God moves in areas of faith. If you notice where Jesus went to heal the little girl and she had already died, he told everybody to get out except for, you know, Peter and James and John. Only them would he allow in because he wanted a room of faith. Right? All those other people doubted that he could do it. He went into whole cities and couldn't do anything there because of their unbelief. Doubt hinders a move of God. If you don't think so, read your Bible. He couldn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Okay? If you do not believe God can heal you, then he probably won't. If you don't believe he will heal you, then he probably won't. And one of the things that the Lord wanted me to remind us is that sometimes we go through things and it's not about us. It's about other people watching you as you walk through this process. Okay? Because we think, oh, I fell into sin and that's why I'm sick or something like that. God said, that's not true. Look at Job. Job was a righteous man. Sometimes we go through times, seasons, years of being sick or hurt or cancer. I've known a lot of godly people that have had cancer. And God says, it's not about you, it's about other people watching you walk through that. How are they going to act? Because it's a witness to people, folks. It's a testimony. And I always get excited because God says, I can trust you with this. I can trust you with this. Right? The healing that he provided is for the whole body, folks. So I ask you, whose report will you believe? Will you believe God? Because there's a bunch of voices out there, folks. There's a bunch of other people proclaiming other stuff. There's a bunch of reports going forth. You got stuff from other people. You got stuff from the devil. You got stuff from your own mind. Whose report will you believe? Are you going to believe the government? Whose report will you believe? Seriously. We want to believe the report of the Lord, right? Amen. Get these things down in your spirit. I am forgiven. I am justified. I am redeemed. I am healed. Get that down in your spirit. Walk it out. Let it become truth and life in your spirit. Let it change your life so you can walk in victory. Amen. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Okay? Amen.